It's time for the Apple Watchcast, Apple Set's new Earth Day and International Dance Day activity challenges. New York City Apple employees want to unionize. Apple is testing new Macs with M2 chips. And Apple may have already secured a deal for NFL Sunday Ticket. Plus reviews of Ego lawn trimmer and blowers. And using intercom with HomePods. This and much, much more. It's all coming up next on the Apple Watchcast. This is the Apple Watchcast, episode 413, recorded Wednesday, April 20th, 2022, Saturday Night Watch Fever.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple Watchcast, a podcast dedicated to the Apple Watch.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast, where we talk about any and everything Apple Watch, Apple's most personal and healthy device yet, and the number one watch in the world. I'm your host, Tom, and joining me is Vincent. Welcome to the show, Vincent.
How's it hanging, dude? Happy 420.
Oh, it is, isn't it? I had no idea. Hold on, I'll be right back. Oh, wow. Is that why Chris is out this week?
urgent errand.
Yes. Chris is out this week. We don't know why. He said he was traveling is what he was doing. Yeah. Okay. I totally missed that.
There you go.
A significant day. Elon Musk must love today, right?
Oh, yeah. I haven't checked Twitter yet. Yeah.
And there's no news, right? He didn't like buy Twitter
or
anything.
Yep.
Not yet. Okay. wow, you totally threw me. Okay. I was going to mention something else, and now it doesn't really matter. We're actually a week. The last episode was just a week ago, so you're getting this is sort of a bonus episode. And the reason we're doing this is with my travel. It's going to be another 2 weeks before we do a show again. I'll be back home again in 2 weeks, so that'll work out pretty well. But this whole – I looked at the news because it's only been a week, right? Nothing of too much substance. A lot of speculation and rumors pretty much is all we've got.
Usual and that's, Apple stuff.
Yeah, and that's fine. At this time of year, that's usually what we get. As we lead up to a big event like WWDC, the next month and a half is going to be nothing but this sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. So the first one I want to talk about here is investors once again are calling on Peloton to sell to Apple. They're very unhappy with their new CEO. Do you think Apple's paying any attention to this at all?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah, I think they would have made a bid by now if they were going to do it, right?
Yeah, there was what talk by Amazon and by Nike, right, as the others. But I don't see Apple getting into this.
No.
It seems like it's a good fit, but it's not exactly.
Yeah, this is from the recent changes. They had a new CEO come in. How long has he been? He's only been there like 60 days.
60 days, yeah.
And they're already criticizing him, saying that they're worse off than they were before, has not made adequate management changes, continues to make strategic missteps. And they say their best option is to sell Peloton. And then they reiterate that they still view Apple as one of the best targets for it. And they go and they list like five or six things, reasons why. But I could probably list just as many to why Apple would not want to do this. I don't think, number one, they want to even get into the health hardware business.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's always been through third parties.
Yeah.
Because they're in the software. So,
yeah.
Except for the computing devices.
It sounds like a good match initially, but when you really think about what Apple's doing and what they're doing, there's a whole chunk of it that I don't think Apple would be interested in at all. Mm-hmm. It sounds like it'd be much more beneficial for Peloton than it would for Apple.
Yeah.
In which case, it's not going to happen. Or Apple's just waiting for the price to get lower.
I mean, Apple would be a, they acquire technology for a specific reason.
Yeah.
And then they acquire for talent. And so if you're just offering kind of hardware that they can somewhat, in terms of intellectual property, recreate or and build, it doesn't get them into a space that, that would make them, advantageous for them.
Right. I mean, it's if Peloton goes away, let's say they go bankrupt, go under, whatever, Apple still kind of rises in the digital health and wellness area. They don't need to buy them to do that. I don't see what they would be buying at the moment, but we'll see. So if you have Peloton stock, I'm sorry.
Hang in there.
Yeah. Hang in there. Okay. This next story, this is interesting. Apple Store employees at their flagship New York City location are taking their first steps towards unionizing. So this is from the Washington Post, and this is their Grand Central Terminal store. They're now collecting signatures to begin the unionizing process. If they do this, it'll be the first time that an Apple Store employees have unionized. Have you been to this store, by the way, Grand Central Terminal?
I have seen it. I don't think it was open for some reason when I was there. Maybe probably really late or something.
It's a nice store. It's kind of interesting. It's kind of spread out because of the kind of the terminal part of it. It's nice though. It's a very nice store. So anyway, they're unionizing, and they're calling themselves the Fruit Stand Workers United.
That's hilarious.
So they have voted to affiliate with Workers United, which is a group, I guess, that is working on getting Starbucks employees unionized around the country. So they're trying to convince employees that unionizing – or I'm sorry, Apple is attempting to convince them that it's a bad idea, of course. Been trying to bust that up for a little while.
So it's all these, it's been what it's recently it was Amazon, right? That one, that union.
Yeah. I think that's still going workers. On.
Oh, okay. I thought they got it.
Or did they get it before for one of them?
I think they got it.
Okay.
Yeah. So Seattle, Starbucks and then, and then Amazon. And then, I see a growing movement here that power to the people.
Yeah, Apple Store employees are ramping up their efforts, and they say a number of reasons, including ongoing impacts of inflation, as well as high-stress working conditions during COVID-19. Trying to get, as they say, for their team, the best possible standards of living in what has proven to be an extraordinary time, a once-in-a-generation consumer price inflation. Now, Apple has addressed some of this in the past with changes to their vacation time, paid sick days, in trying to, I guess, stop this from happening or to slow it down. Now, the other piece of news that came out was specifically what they're asking for, which is $30 an hour as a minimum wage.
Yeah, which in New York is like nothing. But
yeah, well, okay. I read this entire article, both of these articles. I read a lot of stuff about it, and not one of them has told me what they currently make. How big a jump are we talking here? Right? Yeah. How much are they being compensated by Apple right now? I mean, I can only speak from experience. I worked there a long time ago, 2007. And as I recall, whatever the minimum wage was at the time, Apple was quite well above it. And this was for a retail position. And they had great benefits, including you could buy discounted stock. You had they had their own discounted store to purchase things. They had great sick time vacation. They pay you for education if it's related to, you know, working for Apple. I mean, at the time, I didn't think there was a better big company to work for. And if I didn't already have another career, in advertising at the time, this was a second job, I probably would have stuck with it. So I don't know. I wish I knew more about what to compare this to, you know, other current conditions to know if this is something normal for New York City or is this just somebody taking advantage of the times, right? The great, what do we call this? The great resignation?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to read this. Then I've read a lot of the comments on both these articles and there's positives and negatives. Have you ever worked for a place that was unionized?
I haven't, but working in the ad industry, I mean, you know, that all the actors guild and all the folks that work behind the camera are unionized and
right. You
know, it's worked out for them.
Screen Actors Guild. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All of that. Having worked at a grocery store chain that was unionized, very young, this is like my second job, maybe, was very eye opening. It's like, whoa, you have a union. And I couldn't speak to management without someone there when I was initially hired. I mean, all this stuff was kind of weird at the time, for someone who didn't know any better. And I worked at a lot of other grocery stores and I can't say that it was really any different, than the others. I mean, honestly, but again, this was back in the '80s. Things have changed, quite a bit, but, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we shall see.
Yeah. Cause initially $30 an hour sounds quite crazy, but that's
relative.
It depends on what you're doing, right? What is it, like 60 grand a year?
Yeah, they're about some.
I'm trying to think of any other retail where you would make that as a clerk. As somebody selling things
that's pretty
on
high.
Floor. Yeah, it is pretty high.
Yeah, it's high. I don't know about New York. I mean, relative to Texas wages. Yeah.
Well, but, you know, like let's say you work at a, as I mentioned in the comments, like you work at a, not a CVS, but some sort of pharmacy type place in New York City. What are they making?
Right. You know,
what other retail? What type of wage? It's probably still not enough. But anyway, it's interesting. We'll follow this and see what happens. Could also be they're just asking for a really high number, so they'll settle lower. But right,
could be
negotiation. Could be. It's all a part of the deal. So yeah, we'll see what happens with that. Again, positive and negative, because again, like Starbucks, I think once they get in, then the other locations want to unionize as well.
Yeah, that's interesting. And it's all based upon individual locations. It's not like the entire, you know, workforce,
Apple
store workforce is doing it.
And it's, again, it's not like Apple doesn't have the money.
Oh yeah,
so
they can afford it
of all companies, which kind of baffles me that even got to this point with Apple.
Sure,
I mean, how could they let this get this far if they really don't want unions in there? The very simple way to do that is to just raise everybody's wages across the board.
Yeah,
for Apple.
It would be interesting. I mean, the thing is, Apple is one of those places where, from knowledge workers' perspective, is you know the top tier, right? Like you want to get in and work at Apple. But I don't know if it's the same at the Apple store and the retail side of things. If it's a high salary, I mean, it just makes it more difficult to hire folks that are truly talented and knowledgeable about the products and stuff.
Right. So. Well, again, I have to say that from someone who worked at the retail.
Yeah.
I already knew a lot about it, but their training is intense. For 2 solid weeks, I did nothing but sit in the back room and watch videos that I had to take tests on for 2 weeks. Wow. And that was just to walk out on the floor and be able to sell a customer a product.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I'm sure it's even more intense now than it was then.
Yeah.
Probably even a better system than it was back then. So yeah, that you're right. The level of training, but they can train anybody they can train me to do it. They can train anybody to do it.
Okay. Well, enough said.
Yeah, there you go. All right. What else is going on? We got some activity challenges.
Ooh.
We got two.
Yeah.
The first one is the Earth Day, which is set for this Friday, a couple of days from now, which April 22nd. You have to complete a workout of any category for at least 30 minutes to unlock the stickers and the actual award.
30 minutes.
Yeah. This one's that's a pretty intense one.
That's easy for Chris, but like, that's like 20 minutes over my record there right now.
20 minutes over your record. I love that. I think I've gotten this one in the past. It looks familiar. I don't think they've changed. There's one new one here, maybe sticker-wise.
The one on the right looks a little different.
Yeah, I think we've seen the skateboard one and some others. But yeah, so this Friday coming up. And then just today I saw that Apple has set another one for, and this might be the, is this the first time they've done this? International Dance Day.
Yeah, Apple's coming up with days all over the place.
So this is new, right? It's not just me.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was such a thing. International Dance Day, which is April 29th. Okay. So a week later, you can get another one. Requires you to do a dance workout of 20 minutes or more. So that's within your range, Vincent. It's within the range.
Stretch goal. Yeah.
So Apple says, time to groove. Earned this award by recording a dance workout of 20 minutes or more on International Dance Day, April 29th. Record it with a workout app or any app that adds workouts to health. And they've, the stickers are kind of okay. But the award itself, I have to say, is that John Travolta?
Oh, yeah. That's Saturday Night Fever.
That's the Saturday Night Fever pose. Right? So what is that? Is that this? There we go.
It is indeed.
Apple wants you to get your groove on, right?
Yep.
I'll stop that before I get in trouble. So let me do a quick review of Night Fever by the Bee Gees. It's a great song. There's my review. So we don't get in trouble. but that pose is just too funny with our little... animated stick man here.
It could also be the Elaine, so I don't know
exactly. It could be the Elaine, yes. If it's Travolta, though, they needed to put some big wide collars here.
Some
bell-bottom.
Yeah.
Would have been nice. No, I think the Elaine is like the one in the middle there of the three that we're looking at. That looks like the Elaine to me. And for folks who are not aware, it's a Seinfeld reference to one of their funniest episodes ever, is Elaine dancing. So you're going to do this? You're going to get this award?
Oh, if I can convince my daughter to probably do it with me, yeah, maybe. we do a lot of dancing, but it is not coordinated, let's say.
Okay. So you're not gonna turn on that music and do a Saturday Night Watch Fever?
I might just for Friday, you know.
Okay, that would be nice. Be sure to video that. I'd love to see.
Oh,
that.
Yeah, of course. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, what else is going on? Oh, again, this just came up a day or two ago. Apple is testing. Wow, they're saying 9 new Macs with 4 different M2 chips. We're not done with M1 yet, are we?
No.
We're still at least one Mac to go, but there are obviously they would then be testing these new ones. This is according to Bloomberg. So what we're looking at here is a MacBook Air with an M2, with an 8-core CPU, 10-core GPU, a Mac Mini with the M2 chip and an M2 Pro chip, an entry-level... M2. Oh, so there's an okay. Not just the M2 chip. We're talking the M2 Pro then.
Pro, yeah.
Entry level 13-inch MacBook Pro with an M2, 14 and 16-inch MacBook Pro models, and a Mac Pro. Now the Mac Pro. So they're saying that the Mac Pro may not use M1. Huh.
The Mac Pro, yeah, just skip right through it, right? Yeah. Oh man.
Yeah, a successor to the M1 Ultra used in the Mac Studio.
Yeah, wow. I can see that.
Okay. I'm still waiting. I'm still counting down the days to my Mac Studio here. It's coming like June 1st. So
that'll be blazing.
Oh, I can't wait. I cannot wait to reset everything up. So they're saying Apple has also tested the M1 Max version of the Mac Mini, but the release of the Mac Studio may have made that a redundant machine.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why they would release another Mac Mini. It might be a Mac Mini Studio. Mac Studio Mini?
Yeah. It's Ultra. Pro Ultra Max. Yeah.
There you go.
Getting a little crazy with the words. But one thing this does show is that now that Apple is untethered from Intel, they can release stuff whenever they want and whenever it's ready. They don't have to wait.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. Which they've been holding back so much over the last, I don't know, 5 years or so. It must have been driving them crazy getting this ready.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Now, I've been told that the M2, to not expect a huge jump between the M1 and the M2.
In terms of what, performance?
Yeah.
That it
will be better, but not the leap that we just saw to the M1. You see what I mean?
Sure.
It has the number 2 does not mean it will be twice as good. It will be like normal. Think about normal upgrades that Apple does to their machines. You know how it's a little bit better, a little bit faster, you know, more capable, et cetera, et cetera. It's going to be those types of jumps from now on unless something crazy happens, which is still good. That's what we need, and they'll probably do them more often. Which is going to make buying kind of a nightmare.
They just glue them together, bigger and bigger versions, and they have to deal with the heat.
The fusion.
The fusion.
So we'll see. We'll see what it shakes out to be. But kind of exciting that they're just keep pushing forward.
Yeah, I'm just hoping that from a company perspective, we're trying to acquire as many MacBooks as we can, and they're just still kind of short. They're still a few weeks behind. Hopefully that they'll get past that hump too.
Yeah, there was the recent uptick in COVID in China has probably hurt them a bit.
Yeah, there's that. Yeah.
Although I heard one of the main Foxconn facilities, at least for the phone, is still open. Others are closed.
Oh, really?
But there's one that's still open. Yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
Right. Oh. Which led to someone telling a joke about, you know, an apple a day.
there it is.
Yeah. We'll see. Because, you know, I ordered my Mac Studio when it first came out, and I'm still waiting here until June. That tells you how long these are. I don't know what it is if you order it right now and customize it. If you order it right out the way it is, I think you get it much sooner. If you change anything in there as far as the memory or the storage, it's got to be custom made and you're going to get in line. So,
yes, indeed.
What else? Oh, another thing from also from Bloomberg and Mark Gurman. This is a crazy one. We've I think mentioned this before. It's come back up. He says that Apple is working on a new HomePod that combines a speaker, Apple TV functions, and a FaceTime camera. What kind of Frankenstein device is this?
It's a center speaker.
It's
a center speaker you
I think it is. I think it's a, what do you call those? Soundbar.
A soundbar.
Yeah.
With Apple TV built in.
Oh, yeah. That would be awesome. I would do that in a heartbeat. I mean, I have my two HomePods together, you know, as a pair, speaker pair for my TV, and I love it. This sounds like it might be even better.
This would be the thing that people would buy. If they bought anything, it'd be the one thing to kind of supplement your TV, your dumb TV, because you don't have to buy a smart TV anymore because you can use Apple TV anyway.
Right.
And then you'll have great sound coming out of the thing. And then you can do, you know, FaceTime. It'd be killer.
If it could do FaceTime, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Because right now, everybody's wondering, why does Apple TV currently not have FaceTime on it?
Right.
It's because of the camera you would need.
Yeah.
And the television, which they don't come with. So.
That's right.
So this would have it said camera, didn't it? Built in?
Yeah, with a FaceTime camera.
Yep.
Yeah, with center stage and everything. That'd be freaking amazing.
That's a killer product for Apple. That was talked about earlier, and now he's saying that he absolutely thinks that it is coming and it will likely be at the center of Apple's approach to the home.
Mm.
So what are they going to call this thing?
Yeah, I can totally see that. I can totally see that. Hey, did you see the article about the original HomePods actually now on eBay going for more than they cost?
More than double. I saw one for over $600. Right.
Holy mackerel. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, it was still sealed in plastic. I should have not opened the last one I bought.
But and I totally paired with those. I mean,
yeah.
Fantastic sound.
Because now, and all I've been seeing on Twitter too, once that news came out, was a lot of people saying, regretting that Apple had done that and talking about how great the HomePod actually was.
Right.
It just didn't sell well. Everybody loved it and bought it.
Back?
Huh?
Have they ever brought anything back?
Oh, you mean from the dead?
From the dead. It's back.
MagSafe, but it's not the same.
It's not the same.
Not the same thing. Same name. They brought it back.
Right.
No, I don't think they have. I mean,
right.
Unless you want to call the new Mac Studio the Cube of its day. I mean,
yeah.
That's about as close as you're going to get.
Yeah.
No, I don't think they have brought anything back. Now, they have the HomePod Mini, which has been a great success at a lower price.
Yeah. Well, now it's kind of a weird misnomer because there is no other one, no other HomePod.
Right.
It is the HomePod.
But they're just going to drop the name Mini at one point.
And then it's going to come back with the Pro Max.
The Mini.
The HomePod Pro Max.
No, I want the HomePod Ultra.
The Ultra, yeah, there you go.
I want the Ultra
Fusion.
So okay, what would the soundbar be called? It wouldn't be HomePod, right?
I guess it would have to. I'd say HomePod. HomePod Central.
It's it's for your TV, but it is for your home.
Yeah, HomePod TV. There you go.
Home TV?
Apple HomePod.
Okay, we'll leave it up to them.
That's why we don't work at Apple.
Yeah, no. They'll come up with a name, I'm sure. But if they do, when they come out with that, then they could drop the Mini off of the HomePod.
Right. Just HomePod.
Especially when they come out with one even smaller than the one they have.
Yeah,
little tiny. That's the HomePod Nano.
You can put it in your ear.
Yes. Okay. It's weird how their different product lines start to collide with each other, isn't it? It's just a matter of degree. Yeah. Okay, what else? I thought this was pretty interesting. A police officer, we always hear when these incidents happen with fall detection and emergency services with the watch, how it saves someone's life, either through their heart or they get a notification, all that. We always hear about those stories, someone in a car wreck. This is from the police officer's point of view, which was on Reddit, I do believe. And this police officer talked about responding to this call and what it was like. They said the history on the residents didn't come back with anything, and all callbacks were negative. So they get to the residence and notice all the lights are on. Someone is home. They knock on the door. There's no answer. Through the glass panes, they notice pictures of a family, but mostly of an elderly woman. He said, so to me, I kind of thought that's who lived here. The door luckily was unlocked. I opened it, announced myself. I just heard groaning, ran upstairs, found an elderly lady lying on her back, half her face covered in blood. Right away, called emergency health services for medical attention. The woman had been feeling nauseous during the day and then fainted after standing up. She did not know that her watch had called the police. He said, I guess during her state, she wasn't in the right mind to understand how, She's going to make a full recovery. And then here's the quote from the officer. I always knew about the Apple Watch feature, but damn, it was cool to see it in action. So very interesting. Someone responding to this fall detection. Now, that is enabled on the Apple Watch, automatically turned on if you're over 55, and that's the age that you put into the health app. Younger than 55, it's off by default. Mm-hmm. They assume you're going to fall down a lot on purpose.
It also works, as I found out, when things fall on you.
Yes.
So that's a good thing.
Yeah, I did. There was only, I think, one or two times where I actually tripped on something, fell. It was okay. Mm-hmm. And it did go off, you know. So, I mean, it does work. And there's a case where it definitely works. So.
Oh, yeah. I got to get upgrades for my mom and mother-in-law.
Does not work on the Series 3, right?
I said that the article says the feature can be turned on this Apple Watch Series 3, but I wasn't sure.
No, it says the Series 3.
Oh.
All currently sold Apple Watches except
except
the 3. So I don't think
article.
I don't think you have to worry about the 3.
Yeah.
Because I think this is the year we say goodbye.
Indeed.
Yeah, the Series 3.
It is long in the tooth.
Very long. And this is just another reason why, which would make it make it to the point where all Apple Watches that would currently be sold have fall detection available. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
Very good. And then
worth it. Huh? Kudos to the person who bought her that watch, or she bought it herself.
Yes. If you know someone who could benefit from that, definitely look into getting them a watch, mm-hmm. at least series above Series 3.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last thing here I want to talk about is apparently, according to who is this report from? I'm going to credit this properly. I don't know. I don't see in here where it's coming from. But apparently, you know, Apple has been, and we've talked about this, a front runner for the NFL Sunday Ticket package.
Oh, it's a 9to5Mac.
9to5Mac? Okay. Mm-hmm. But where are they hearing this from, the actual quote? I couldn't find. A new report from Puck News.
Oh.
Indicates that the NFL Sunday Ticket is Apple's to lose. Mm. In fact, Puck's Matthew Bellani says that one source has already told them that the deal is actually done and being kept quiet at Apple's request. Oops, it's out. Somebody's in trouble. But currently, DirecTV has NFL Sunday Ticket. It costs anywhere from $290 to $400 per season. And they have held that exclusive rights for quite a long time. Mm-hmm. But that will run out at the end of the 2022-23 season. This will be their final season coming up. And they're not expected to renew the deal. Apparently, Amazon and Apple were the front runners for acquiring this. DirecTV paid an average of $1.5 billion per year. That's with a B, billion, for the rights. And it was a loss leader for them that they used it to drive overall subscriber numbers. If you're an NFL fan,
this is big.
The only way you could get to see your teams is you had to go through DirecTV. You had no other choice but to subscribe, even if you didn't watch anything else. That's the only way you could get it. So now they're saying that this would be over $2 billion per year for the deal for Apple to get it. And I think Apple would treat it pretty similar as a loss leader to get subscribers to Apple TV Plus.
That'd be amazing.
I don't think they'll include it. I think there'll be another tier, another level of Apple TV Plus, right?
Mm.
Apple TV Plus Plus, no?
Plus Plus, Plus Pro.
Plus Pro, Ultra.
Yeah.
Apple TV Plus Ultra. There you go. or it will be maybe it's a separate subscription thing from Apple.
Sports? Right? Oh, shoot.
If you could get Okay, that's a good question then. I wish Chris was on the show. We'll talk to him next episode about this, being such a big sports fan. But now that they have some Major League Baseball, if Apple offered both of those together, would you pay a separate thing?
Mm-hmm.
Right? It wouldn't be included in your Apple One subscription like Apple TV Plus is now.
Dang it. I have to pay for Apple Two?
Yes. It would be a separate thing.
Yeah.
But I can't wait for this. This is awesome. I mean,
have you watched any of the Major League Baseball on Apple TV yet?
I have.
Now
we'll talk about that in just a second. Before we get into that, I want to mention I've been a DirecTV subscriber since sometime in the early 90s, way before they even had NFL Sunday Ticket. From anyone who grew up in the Houston area will remember a company called Warner Cable. And that was the only way you could get cable TV in Houston back in the 80s. And it was a very big highlight of our entertainment to be able to call Warner Cable and get rid of our package because we'd just gotten DirecTV. It was a big deal. Mm-hmm. Well, recently I just got rid of it. DirecTV for the same reason. Just too much money, costs too much. I mean, don't use it that much. The service is terrible. And every time I would call in the past two, I've been trying to quit them for the last 2 years. And
that's what I hear. That seems to be the trend.
and every time I would call to do it, they, you know what they would do? They gave me NFL Sunday Ticket for free.
Oh, definitely a loss leader.
They threw it in, right? So finally said, no more, done, canceled. And now we have YouTube TV, which is great.
Yeah, YouTube TV is awesome.
It's fantastic. And now if this NFL Sunday Ticket happens with Apple, I'd have a way to get that back. So I think it makes sense. It makes more sense for the NFL. More people will be able to watch their brand through Apple than they would through DirecTV, for sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to MLB. Did you watch any of it?
I've only seen a couple.
Yeah.
Ads, but
Oh, okay. We talked about it on the show last week, me and Chris did, and I mentioned, I forget who it was it Boomer Esiason? Someone was reviewing the actual broadcast and said it was unlistenable.
Oh, really?
Yeah. How horrible.
I like the UI. I
mean, no, we're not talking about the graphics. The graphics are nice. The picture is great.
Right.
The commentary.
Oh, that's killer.
Was if you're used to watching Major League Baseball on any channel, I mean, I don't care if it's Sunday night, whatever. And I used to, if you can subscribe to MLB for just $25 a month and watch every game, right? All you can watch. So I'm tuning in and you get the choice of, if there's two teams, you could watch either team's broadcast, right? So you could hear the commentary from either one of them calling the same game. So I'm listening to broadcasters all over the country. It's not just like I'm listening to the same ones. And I watched this. And I have to agree, it was unlistenable. It was painful because they weren't actually calling the game. They were rambling on and on about things that were not interesting at all. That was, you know, related to baseball, one of the players, whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm like, get back to the
game.
I just missed something. What's going on?
How interesting.
Oh, it was frustrating. Yeah. It was frustrating.
I used to just turn off the commentary on the TV and play it on mute and just turn on Milo Hamilton and listen to him. It was like total team bias, but heck yeah.
But they'd never be in sync if you did that.
Right.
You would hear things too soon or too late.
Right.
Right. You never get it in sync. And that's one thing that's been talked about. It's like, look, if you're going to do this through Apple, why not offer, if you're streaming, an alternate audio channel for somebody calling it live. And you can choose who you want to listen to, right? Because, yeah, it's a, and I know I'm not being fair to the people who are putting this on. I know it's a very difficult thing to do, but it takes years of training to get as good as some of these people are, right? Al Michaels and these others have been doing it forever, and it's natural to them. It just, it sounds natural. It's a tough thing to do, but I literally couldn't take it for more than half an hour.
About that. Wow.
Yeah, half an hour, which is, you know, less than an inning. I was like, okay, I'm done. I can't listen to this. And I had no other audio to tune into that would be live, you know, for that particular game. So anyway.
So do the commentators come with the, you know, NFL?
I would hope so. I would hope the NFL Sunday Ticket is just like it is with DirecTV. DirecTV has nothing to do with it.
Yeah, it's already prepackaged.
Yeah, they're just broadcasting it.
That's what I thought the MLBs would be, but no, I guess not.
They're doing their own for Friday Night Baseball.
Yeah.
You know, if you subscribe to MLB app on Apple TV, you're going to hear, like I said, the local game being called by the local station if you want.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So, this will be very interesting to see. Big things ahead for Apple TV Plus. So, you've been watching any
people moving to the Apple ecosystem in general. Yeah.
Have you been watching much of what's going on with Apple TV Plus these days?
On Apple TV Plus?
Yeah.
I'm just kind of working my way through all the shows on there. I'm like two or three episodes into Invasion. And just trying to keep up. It's coming at me fast.
It is.
With all the different shows.
Yeah. It seems like there's not a week goes by they don't have something new. Severance was amazing. Yeah.
Really? I fell asleep in the middle of episode two.
Go stick with it.
I gotta stick with it. Okay.
Oh my God. It gets so good near the end.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. It's really interesting.
It's building up. Yeah.
And I think we have coming up next, is it June? May or June, we've got the new For All Mankind third season.
Oh, it's coming back. Third season.
Yep.
Wow.
Which takes place, I think, in the 90s.
Yeah.
So we get a big jump in time.
Okay.
Then something else was coming back. It seems like they've got something new every week.
I'm waiting for Ted Lasso to come back. I think that's the highlight of the week there.
Ted Lasso. And then they signed a deal with another big deal with Tom Hanks and his Playtone company.
Another one for Tom?
Oh, yeah. It's one they announced, I think, when Apple TV Plus was first launched. That they'd be doing, which is, it's called Wings in the Air or something to do with World War II pilots, the Air Force. So they've done Band of Brothers, they did the Pacific, and now they're going to do a series about the Air Force in World War II.
Oh, nice.
Hanks production. And then they've announced, you know, that movie he did, Greyhound. The submarine, a sequel to that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then something else he's doing. So Tom Hanks is doing a ton of stuff for Apple now.
It's We Crash. I haven't watched We Crash yet.
Have you watched that? No?
No, I can't bring it. It's too close to home. And then there's
too close
Foundation.
To
hopefully, Foundation season two is coming. Hopefully.
Foundation was good.
Yeah.
There's some good stuff in there. Very quality. Mm-hmm. So you saw Coda, right? Did you see Coda?
I've only got through episode one.
Okay.
Like I said, there's a lot. I've got to keep
up. There's a lot. Physical, that's another good one.
Yeah.
I'm
looking forward to watching Slow Horses.
I'm in episode two.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's getting a little better. Yeah.
Okay, getting a little better.
Yeah, getting a little and more interesting.
A
lot of these things, you got to stick with them. You know?
They can
catch you on the first one. But I have to say right now, the favorite – sorry, we've turned into a different podcast here about
Apple
what's
TV
on.
TV show.
Yeah, stream this week in streaming. My favorite show right now that I can't get enough of, and I'm waiting and waiting and waiting for the next episode, is on HBO. It's the Lakers.
The Lakers, yes, winning.
Winning. Winning time. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Winning time.
Have you seen it?
It is a great show. Yes, I am. I'm right with you. Right on Sunday night.
Oh my gosh. The casting is amazing. The writing is incredible. The directing style is fantastic. The art direction blows my mind. The editing is incredible. Yeah. Everything about it is just perfect for the story they're telling. And I'm thinking, oh man, this is going to end. You know, we're going to get to a certain point and the story is going to be over. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, please. What is Adam McKay? Is the guy involved? I'm like, please pick another team, another sport, anything, and do it again. Do it again. It's just too good. Way too good.
Yeah. The character of Jerry West always pops in my head once in a while. So, I don't know why.
I'd forgotten. You're talking about the owner of the Lakers?
The coach.
Oh, the coach.
The coach.
Yeah, the coach. Who's the owner is Jerry?
John Riley.
Yeah, John Riley plays him.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just remember him from poker. He's a big poker player here in the recently before he passed away. But he was a big high stakes poker. It's where I saw him a lot.
I see.
Yeah. So maybe we'll get into
Jerry
that.
Buss. That's what it
Jerry
was.
Buss. That's it. Buss. Yep. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. Have we have we covered all
there
the
it
news?
Is. Now you know what you're watching for the next couple of weeks.
Yes. Tune in. And there's other things starting up, coming back. Better Call Saul is back.
Oof.
Final season.
I just finished Breaking Bad, so I'm just going to like let it marinate for a bit. Then when I start.
Oh, you got to dive into Better Call Saul. You know, one of the things I did when we were, you know, forced to stay at home for so long.
Sure.
And couldn't travel, couldn't do whatever. And I rewatched all of Breaking Bad. Uh-huh. And then immediately watched all of Better Call Saul. Wow. And
that's quite a binge.
The way they are tied together. Oh, it took me quite a while. But the way they're tied together is just brilliant. So before you forget much of what went on, start watching Better Call Saul.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. By the time you watch it, get completely caught up, was it 5 seasons or whatever, then the current season will be released and you'll be able to watch that too. So.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So you're you got stuff to watch for the rest of the year. Okay.
So there goes my fitness rings.
Yes. All right. We'll get to what we like in a minute, but first just a quick reminder that the Apple Watchcast is brought to you by the wonderful support of our Patreon subscribers. Become a patron of the Apple Watchcast, and for as little as $1 a month, you can help us to keep producing this show. And you'll get a little something extra in return. You get access to bonus episodes, Apple Watchcast gear, and even be a guest on the show. So check out our page at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast to subscribe and become a patron of the Apple Watchcast. Big thanks to all of our patrons. You make this possible. And we probably should do another Patreon show, bonus episode here soon. Yep. Mm.
It'll all be about the Apple TV.
Yeah. That'd be a separate podcast, wouldn't it? A whole separate podcast. All right. Let's get to what we like this week. Vincent, why don't you kick it off?
Yeah, mine's pretty simple, pretty fun. I kind of splurged on a bunch of HomePod minis because Costco has them on sale right now until April 27th. So you've got like, 7 days to pick one up for, $15 less than their list price. So it's down to $80. So I went and got three of them because I decided that I was not going to have my kids and myself charge our cell phones by our nightstand. Right. So we need an alarm. What better alarm than your HomePod, HomePod mini, right? Like then you have an also really great sound system as well. But for my bedroom, I went and bought two. So I had two, I set them up as a stereo pair for the TV.
Yep.
And it's just an amazing, surround sound and, the Dolby Atmos on there. If you want to check out how awesome the HomePod setup, with the pairs, works with Atmos. You can just kind of pull up a YouTube video. Just Google like audio test, Atmos, Dolby Atmos, and it has those videos and you can just experience the the kind of the spatial surround sound that it creates. It's just an amazing thing that these tiny little speakers can handle that and create that sound. But it's that's the really cool thing, is just like having the sound. But the one thing that I've been digging into is that intercom. Typically, you can ask Siri to like intercom the entire house, and it'll just broadcast to every freaking device and that is within an earshot, and it'll, you know, play whatever you have with intercom. But if you actually go into the Home app itself and you swipe over to the specific room and you hit the intercom button on the top right, it will just broadcast to that particular HomePod that's okay. in that room. And that way you can, I can tell my kids, I come down for dinner without having to yell upstairs. And like, I can just intercom that one space if they happen to be there. But then you can do this also on your watch, and you go to the Home app, find the room, and at the very top, there's an intercom button. Speak your message, hit done, and it sends it. It's just a really cool way of just being able to use all these HomePods that are in the different rooms. The intercom thing is kind of it's like the walkie-talkie feature, but in larger macro form. It's one of the things that I really enjoy being able to use with the new speakers that we have.
So the intercom, when you say all devices, you mean HomePods?
It's you know, doesn't it broadcast to everything?
I think it. That's why I was asking you. I've not really used it much.
Yeah,
but. Yeah, I would think you if you did it for everything, it would be every device. Man, that'd be a lot of devices.
It was every device. It was like phones. If they happen to have their AirPods on,
the watch.
Yeah, no, I think it texts your watch. You're supposed to, but I know that when my kids are listening to music or they have their headphones on and then I do intercom, it'll break in and tell them to come down.
See, that's the important part right there. It's not just sending them a text. It's interrupting what they're listening to.
Right.
Yeah. Perfect.
Right. Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
Cool. So stuff. you've got three of them now.
Yeah.
Nice.
One, two, four. Sorry.
Four. Okay. What color? Four. What color?
Costco at the store only has them in space gray, but if you order online, then you can choose a color. And right. I got a yellow one for my daughter.
Yeah, so she liked that one. I had ordered an orange.
The cord is yellow too.
The what?
That's kind of cool. The cord itself is also colored.
Yes, I ordered an orange one recently for my daughter, and it took a while to come in. It wasn't like immediate with the other colors. So I guess it depends on what's popular, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Cool. All right.
Cool.
What I like this week's a little bit different. It doesn't actually relate to the watch, but it is kind of tech. I'll get close to tech with this, sort of. But it's something I'm pretty jazzed about. So I listen to podcasts when I do yard work, like using a mower, the edger, blower, etc. I use my AirPods Pro to noise cancel those loud machines. Well, last week, my gas-powered edger / weed eater died on me. And it was leaking fuel, and I knew it was only a matter of time before I had to replace it. So I did some research, and I found a brand of lawn equipment that's called EGO, E-G-O. And you may have heard of them, but they were new to me. So EGO's big thing is that they are all electric. They have electric mowers, electric edgers, trimmers, blowers. They even have a power station, all running off of batteries. They even have a 22 horsepower riding mower, battery operated. Now, I had battery powered edger a long time ago, and it was a terrible experience. It never lasted long enough to kind of get halfway through the job. It was just not powerful enough. Well, times have changed a lot, and this EGO brand has figured it out. I went to my local Lowe's store, and they had huge displays of these green EGO boxes. They had everything they carry in stock at this store. So Lowe's is clearly all in on EGO. I don't even know if they may actually be a partner with them. So anyway, I got a weed eater and a leaf blower. Now, the blower is a 56-volt, 120-mile-per-hour blower, and it works great. There's also a turbo button on the top for a little burst of power if you need it. Although using that, I will warn you, will drain your battery pretty quickly. My only little nit on this particular device is where that turbo button is. I accidentally hit it a couple of times and whoa, didn't mean to. Just where it's located, it's kind of easy when you're turning that around in your hand to hit it, because it will drain the battery pretty quickly. Anyway, my first use, I had a huge leaf clean up in the yard. We'd been gone for a while, came back. The yard was just a mess. So the battery did run out before I finished the backyard. But since I also bought the trimmer, the batteries are interchangeable. So I just popped in the battery and I kept going. Yeah. So after years of dragging a power cord all over the front and backyard, it's nice just to pick up the blower, snap in a battery, and go. It is so much faster and easier. The weed eater, this thing is pretty special too. The battery life on it, like I said, is phenomenal. I finished the entire yard and had some power left over. I edged all my sidewalks, driveway, and all the weed eating that I needed to do. Now, one of the cool features of this is what they call power load. Now, anyone who has used a string trimmer knows the hassle of running out of string. I hate that when it runs out, because now you have to stop, you have to disassemble the head, you have to wind up new string, you have to reassemble it and hope you got it right so it doesn't jam. It takes a lot of time. Well, this power load is pretty amazing. You take your length of string, and they also sell their own pre-cut spools for you, but you feed it through halfway. In other words, you get the halfway point in the middle of the trimmer, and then you push a button and it winds it all up for you. You just push a button. That's it. It's fantastic. I've never seen anything quite like it. They say it's the first of its kind, so no more hassles with that. It's a very nice feature. It's also great not to have to constantly add fuel, which my other edger was a fuel and oil mix, so that was a big hassle. And then there's the added struggle of pulling to get it started, adjusting it to keep it running. With this Ego, again, I just snap on a battery and off I go. I love these. So when my gas mower, when it finally dies, I will be upgrading to one of their battery mowers. Both the trimmer and the blower came with, a battery and a charger each. You can get a pretty quick charge. These are what they call them arc lithium batteries. And you can go from completely dead to full charge in, I think, in less than 45 minutes. The trimmer was $250 and the blower was $199. Now,
You didn't get the commercial version here.
No. My yard's not that big. And I'm secretly hoping that my mower will break down soon, but it's still in great shape and it starts right up every year. So that won't happen.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. These things are amazing.
They sell a battery pack too. You can carry around with this thing.
Yes. They sell everything. And when you look at the technology on their website, I'll put a link in the show notes. They have an exploded view of the battery.
Oh, I see.
It looks like there are 24 AA batteries in there.
Yeah, they look like 24 hour. Yeah, 20.
I know they call them fuel cells, but they look like took 24 of them, duct taped them all together. I don't think
that
would work.
That's what the Teslas, I think, too, right? Yeah.
It's the same idea.
My question is though, did you measure the noise?
Oh no, I need to do that. Watch? I need to measure the actual decibel.
Yeah.
Now I can't compare it to my old trimmer because it died.
Well, that would be silent.
Well, that would be silent. True. But let's put it this way. I had to put on my AirPods Pro, put on noise cancellation, and really turn up what I'm listening to in order to hear a podcast while I was using it.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. I don't have to go near that loud with this.
Yeah, no. At all. That's not good for your hearing.
No, it's not. Yeah. No. So anyway, I'm excited about it. The technology's pretty cool. It's changed a lot.
Yeah.
So I would definitely recommend those to anybody in the market for something like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anything else?
Well, that's pretty much it.
Okay.
It's been a short week.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have. I did have an email I wanted to get to real quick. see if I can call it up. If not, we'll do it next week.
Okay.
Someone had commented on something that we had mentioned. Oh, never mind. It was it's a question for Chris. It's about selling your bar using iOS. So okay. We'll have to wait. We'll wait on that one. We can't answer all that question for him. So
yeah, indeed.
All right. Anything else before we cover the screen with our wrists to silence this episode?
Oh, no.
All right.
There it is.
That's all the time we have for this episode. Thank you, Vincent, for being here. I really do appreciate it. Thank you to everyone out there for listening. If you'd like to support our show, again, check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. It's a great way to help us to continue to produce this show. Check it out at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. Links to stuff we talk about can be found on our website at applewatchcast.com. You can follow us in Apple Podcasts or any other podcast service you prefer. If you have a question about the Apple Watch or about our show, send us an email at comments@applewatchcast.com. Look for us and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. As always, thanks for listening. Stay safe. And until our next show, you're on your own time.
Remember to rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts.